the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake from State Farm. I'm winning. I finally cleaned my house, so I'm bringing out my new tropical room spray.
Keep winning and create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. It's like your own personal paradise.
Ooh, hey, grab me a coconut water.
Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump both campaigning in Michigan today, a key swing state in this close election. Harris at a rally in Grand Rapids, one of three campaign stops today, responded to reports by Politico's Playbook that Trump has canceled some of his interviews due to exhaustion.
He is ducking debates and canceling interviews.
Trump, arriving for a roundtable just outside Detroit, denied those reports.
I'm not even tired. I'm really exhilarated. You know why? We're killing her in the polls.
Polls showing a dead heat in Michigan and other key swing states. Trump holds a rally later tonight in Detroit. President Biden in Germany today says the death of Hamas leaders killed by Israeli forces is a turning point, an opportunity to finalize a ceasefire deal. He was in Germany holding talks with leaders about the Middle East and Ukraine. In Indiana, testimony beginning in the Delphi murder trial today of Richard Allen. He's accused of killing two teens in a wooded area in 2017. This is ABC News. In New York, longtime Mexican drug cartel leader Ismael Zambada pleaded not guilty to a slew of federal drug and weapons charges, including fentanyl distribution, making him eligible for the death penalty. Homicide detectives have been at work since Monday, searching a South Texas landfill for clues into the disappearance of a 51-year-old mother of four.
Investigators have not been specific about what led them to the city dump east of San Antonio, but for the past 4 days, they've sifted through tons of trash looking for evidence into Suzanne Clark Simpson's whereabouts, and they've found nothing. Simpson disappeared October 6th after neighbors reported hearing a loud argument. Her husband is being held on charges of family violence and unlawful restraint, but he's also being questioned about his wife's disappearance. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Phone makers are facing new rules from the FCC. New regulations will require all new phones to be compatible with hearing aids. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. In Manitowoc County, charges are filed against 3-year-old Elijah Vu's mother and her boyfriend in the death of the little boy. District Attorney Jacqueline LeBray Thursday announced the charges against Katrina Bauer and Jesse Vang.
This is an incredibly tragic situation that has shaken our community. My thoughts and deepest condolences go out to Elijah's family, who are enduring unimaginable pain.
Charges against Vang include physical abuse of a child, repeated acts causing death, and Bauer's charges include chronic neglect of a child consequences death. A bail hearing is scheduled for Friday afternoon. Israel's war in the Mideast intersected with presidential politics in Milwaukee Thursday.
On the UW-Milwaukee campus, Vice President Kamala Harris took a break from campaigning to comment on the killing of the Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar by the Israeli military.
Sinwar was responsible for the killing of thousands of innocent people.
Protesters opposing U.S. support of Israel's war in Gaza were outside the UWM student union.
Sign is crystal clear.
Harris moved on to campaign events in La Crosse and Green Bay. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin is seeing elevated fire risks this weekend.
The Department of Natural Resources is asking you to avoid burning due to elevated fire danger across the state. The DNR is partnering with the National Weather Service to monitor the situation over the weekend. Current wildfire concerns are primarily due to lack of precipitation statewide and gusty winds. You should avoid outdoor burning, operate equipment early in the morning to avoid sparks at peak burn hours, and hold off on having campfires until later in the evening. More information is available on the DNR's website. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
The dry weather continues in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Sunshine throughout the day today, highs, lows, 70s. South winds at 5 to 15, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear, lows near 50. Tomorrow, sunny, highs, mid-70s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football tonight. The Panthers wrap up the regular season, hosting Stanley Boyd. The AdventHealth Panther preview is at 6:45, kickoff at 7 o'clock here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
And welcome into AOA here today. Thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Got a lot to get to on the show today. Again, powered by Cenex. As harvest season rolls along, every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. To mitigate that risk on the farm with premium diesel from Cenex, go to your nearest store or Cenex.com for more information. Coming up here on today's program, again, we got a lot to get to on the show. We'll take a look at news headlines later on in the program in segment four. More layoffs at John Deere in Iowa and Illinois, and some updates on a jet fuel processing facility coming to eastern South Dakota. In segment three, a recent trip by a group of Nigerian farmers, industry professionals to Philip Good's farm in Mississippi, looking at his aquaculture and more. Philip's a farmer leader with the United Soybean Board. We're going to learn about that trip and more coming up after the bottom of the hour in segment three today. In segment two, we're going to go over the new economic study commissioned by the National Corn Growers and the American Soybean Association, looking at how a tariff-induced trade war would hurt U.S. farmers. ASA Chief Economist Scott Gerlt will join us for a conversation in just a little bit. Let's kick things off, though, here on AOA today. Take a look at what's happening in the markets. Joining us now, Jeff French with Ag Hedgers. Jeff, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Very good, Jesse. Thank you for having me, and great to be here.
Well, I'm looking at a wheat market on Friday's trade that's under a little bit of pressure while row crops are fairly firm and mixed. This grain trade, man, oh man, I tell you what, really all week long, it's been felt like it's been a little pins and needly type of trade, especially soybeans as we kind of broke lower again. It feels like that harvest pressure, weather, all these different things kind of just weighing on the grain market. So your perspective, how are things looking as we close out the week on Friday?
Well, you know, Friday during harvest, during a very good, fast-paced harvest, those are trend days. And the last 3 weeks, we have clearly trended lower after, you know, really rallying for 6 to 7 weeks. But when the buying dried up from the funds covering their short positions, we started to turn over. And this week has all been about the weather in Brazil, specifically Mato Grosso. And they actually got some very good rains. And you look at the next 14-day forecast, I mean, the whole entire state is covered with red. So the expectation is now that they will be able to get the crop in at least. But they obviously have a very big growing season and long growing season ahead of us. But, you know, that is a projection. You know, CONAB right now, 163 million metric tons. I mean, they're projecting a 6.2 billion bushel bean crop down there, which is just going to weigh heavily on this market on any type of rally. And that is on top of, you know, the U.S. has 550 million bushels in the carryout, which is essentially 2 years of supply. So, yeah, we took out the $10 mark in soybeans here. Quickly traded down to 968, probably got a little bit overdone, and then we snapped it quickly back up to 993 here this morning. We're off a little bit, but there are thousands of in-the-money options in the November contract. November options expire next Friday, so this market could see some increased volatility as those options continue to close out that position. But as long as beans close below $10, there is an increasing chance that we could go and test those lows down at 9.55. So it's a heavy market. We got to get through harvest, but there's just a lot of cash grain being thrown at the market currently.
Well, and thinking about that, all that grain out there and finding a home for it and thinking supply and demand, I know this week we've seen really good corn exports. Sales, another flash sale Friday, molding to unknown destinations. It's been Mexico and unknown that's been buying corn here this week. We also saw a soybean sale to unknown as well. Weekly export sales numbers came out a day late Friday morning. I mean, you look at some of this export activity this week, etc. Anything there that gives you a bright spot at all, Jeff?
Absolutely. I mean, the corn exports have been very encouraging. I mean, we sold last week 2.2 million metric tons. I mean, we're talking 80% over the average. So, I mean, a very strong week. Now, I went back and dug in. Those unknown sales that we've been seeing, you know, everybody's looking to see if they actually go to China. We're just not seeing that right now in the corn. Most of the unknown purchases were for Japan, and we got notice of that here this morning. But, yes, I mean, and when you think of it, why wouldn't countries come in and buy this stuff? We're sitting here at 3 to 4 year lows. It looks like we're kind of putting in a bottom here in this corn. I mean, we traded below $4 in December yesterday for about 3 minutes. And it really did not like being down there. And we snapped right back up and traded to the 50-day moving average up at 408, and that kind of stopped the rally. But, you know, in general, the market is oversold. But I just don't see, you know, can we get up to 470 area? I think that's going to have to take some time, and I think it's going to have to see some adverse weather conditions down in South America. Or maybe we see, you know, some yield cuts in the incoming USDA reports. But all indications that this is a very strong yielding crop. Obviously, it's very dry. But it was good to see that December corn hold that $4 mark there yesterday.
We got about 90 seconds, Jeff. Cattle trade this week. I know cash coming in is pretty steady to firm, feels like. What's your perspective in this overall cattle market right now?
Extremely hot market. It's just like the stock market. It's been straight up for 6 weeks. We've got up here close to the all-time highs. I'm just advising all of my clients. We're going here the next 3 weeks. This market could be extremely volatile with the elections coming in. Get some risk on paper or on LRP. We clearly, if you look at the last 4 or 5 day trading sessions, this 190 area in the futures has been stiff resistance. And the longer we go that we cannot take that out, you're going to see increased hedging pressure because we just can't get through that. It's just like the beans on that rally. When we were unable to get through that 1070 area for 4 to 5 days, that's when you saw the market roll over. I don't think we're going to roll over in this cattle without a major headline. The numbers support higher prices. The cutout has been just straight up. Chuck prices have been going through the roof. So cutout over 320, 100. That will increase the demand from the Packers. Packer margins are in the black. The cattle outlook is very strong. Again, it all questions of what is the general economy going to do here in the next 6 months.
Well, I know folks could find more aghedgers.com. Jeff French, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate the time.
Jesse, have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, powered by Cenex. Select the right grease. It's critical for your operation. Go to Cenex.com or your nearest store for more. We'll segue from markets. We'll talk about the potential of tariffs and what that could do for a trade war. We'll talk with Scott Curlin from the American Soybean Association on the way next.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA rolls along today, brought to you by Cenex. Power through the season. Cenex has what you need for premium greases and lubricants. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Well, a new economic study that has been commissioned by the American Soybean Association and the National Corn Growers Association takes a look at what a renewed U.S.-China trade war could what impact that could have on farmers and rural America. We want to talk about this report, this study. Joining us now for a conversation, Scott Gerlt, Chief Economist for the American Soybean Association. Scott, welcome to AOA. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you for asking. I would say this study very, very timely with the elections coming up. And of course, all the talk and the rhetoric around potential tariffs been talked about a lot by former President Trump, and just a lot of concern about the downturn in the ag economy right now and more. Walk us through kind of the top line results from this study. I know it was commissioned by, again, ASA and the Corn Growers, and it was conducted by World Agricultural, Economic, and Environmental Services. So give us kind of the top line here. What was found?
Yeah, we were very happy to partner with National Corn Growers on this. So we found that a trade war would have very negative impacts on soybeans and corn, which that itself is not a surprise, but we were able to quantify it a little bit. So basically, after the last trade war, China never took its tariffs off the books. So in a lot of ways, we're kind of in a pause. So one of the things we looked at is, what if China started collecting on those tariffs again for soybeans and corn? And depending on the products, that'd be 25 to 35% tariff. And in that case, soybean prices, we found, would drop by about 60 cents for U.S. producers. Corn prices would drop about 8 cents per bushel. And that would reduce economic output by about $5 billion per year. One other thing we looked at is a 60% tariff by China on U.S. soybeans and corn. In that case, we're looking at $1 per bushel drop in soybean prices, 13 cents per bushel drop in corn prices, and an $8 billion reduction in economic output per year. So pretty dramatic effects, especially whenever you're looking at the environment we're in now, as you mentioned. Farm income has fallen the past 2 years by about the largest amount since the 1970s. So there's just not as much ability on the farm side to really absorb those sort of price drops at the moment.
Well, and I will add to, I mentioned former President Trump. We've seen some of this from the Democratic side as well, talking tariffs and more. And many of the Trump-era tariffs have stayed in place throughout the Biden administration, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of concern about the tariff-related approach here. And thinking about China and tariffs, Scott, I think, you know, we've seen, case in point, we had the 2019 trade war, of course, but even seeing some of the issues between China and Canada right now when it comes to tariffs, I mean, that just kind of, I think, echoes some of the concern should we see a new tariff war, trade war spark between the U.S. and China.
Yeah, it definitely does. And to be clear here, I mean, there's a very complex relationship with China, absolutely. And there's a lot to it, a lot of it outside of ag as well. And, you know, we're not saying, we're not recommending that, you know, any particular prescription on all that. We just really want there to be recognition of ag's role in trading here with China. You just simply cannot offset a China whenever it comes to size of the customer on the market. I mean, last time, yes, we did see some shifting around of trade patterns, but there's no other country or really a collection of countries that can step in to fill that hole that would be lost with China.
Well, another part of this study too that we should focus on, you mentioned last time we saw some shifting around of trade and kind of the deck chairs got reshuffled. I've used that term before. Well, Brazil and Argentina, mm-hmm. our biggest competitors at this point when it comes to, you know, corn and soybeans, I think I can safely say that they would stand a benefit in this situation if something were to happen between the U.S. and China, right?
Absolutely. And to me, that's actually one of the scariest things. I mean, we're talking about price drops here in the United States, and those are very, very bad. But a trade war, after a trade war, you never really fully reset. I mean, at least that's what we saw with the last one that ended almost 5 years ago now. China has never come back to the United States at to the same levels of volume buying for soybeans that it was here, you know, going back to 2017 or before. So yes, the trade war ended, but we never really went back to where we were. And And our analysis has area in Brazil increasing under tariffs. It has area in the United States decreasing. Those are semi-permanent effects. I mean, once land is converted in Brazil to row crop production, you know, that genie's out of the bottle, and it's not going to be put back in. So even as if we survive a short-term trade war, we've created more long-term competition, more of a shift of our production into South America, out of the United States.
We are talking with Scott Gerlt, chief economist with the American Soybean Association. I know this new trade study commissioned by ASA and NCGA, conducted by a third party, it's available online on the soygrowers.com website. I know it's on the NCGA website, and it's on ours at agricultureofamerica.com. And Scott, kind of circling back to something you mentioned at the top, of course, just the downturn in the ag economy here. I mean, we look at right now a big U.S. harvest, the soy carryout, where that stands, price levels, again, mm-hmm. You're getting sub $10 futures, basis levels, things of that nature taking a hit here. And, you know, it's already, I guess, when you look at it from that perspective, it's already a tough situation in rural America. And so to kind of echo this study, you throw in any other outside factors and that could just make the situation worse, right?
Right. Unfortunately, there's just not much buffer when it comes to profitability right now. You mentioned the record harvest we are looking at here. Brazil is expected to have a record crop this year. I mean, yes, it's been dry. Yes, they've had some issues planting, but it is still early in that season. And so you have several factors here that have really been pushing down farm prices. Fortunately, on the soy side, we have seen more demand for crushing domestically, which is helpful. But even that has had some challenges lately, which is a whole another discussion. But yeah, it's not, unfortunately, we're not at a point where we can just easily move product around and kind of offset that loss. We are in very tight margins at the moment.
We are definitely in very, very tight margins. There's no doubt about it. Scott, again, I know a lot of great work in this study. And again, folks could find it online. I guess as we close out the segment, what would be your biggest take home for producers listening in? How could folks, you know, make their voice heard, I'm sure. But I guess what do you want folks to really think about as we watch some of this play out and unfold here, I'm sure, in the months ahead?
Yeah, I think people should be cognizant of why trade matters for agriculture. We've built a lot of our domestic demand around international trade, and we've been working on that for decades. U.S. soy has been in China for over 40 years to build that market. And, we produce more than we consume here at home. And so we are very reliant on these markets. And so I think as people engage with their representatives, just making sure that this is understood, the importance of keeping those markets open, the importance of developing these markets over the long term and remaining a reliable trading partner so that we can continue to have market access.
Very, very true. I couldn't agree more. Again, folks can find the study and take a look at it for themselves at soygrowers.com. It's also on our website, agricultureofamerica.com. You can find a link to the story there as well. Really appreciate the time with that. American Soybean Association Chief Economist Scott Gerlt. Scott, thanks for being with us here on the show today. Have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. You too.
Scott Gerlt, ASA Chief Economist, joining us here on AOA today. And again, very interesting study commissioned by ASA and the Corn Growers, National Corn Growers Association, and done by a third party. But just looking at some of the impacts of how tariffs could impact U.S. soybeans and corn, something to definitely keep in mind as we move forward. AOA today, powered by Cenex. Long hours, the name of the game. For farmers and ranchers, Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your trucks on the road. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest store for more. Coming up next, we're going to learn about a recent trade trip to Philip Good's farm in Mississippi, looking at his aquaculture and more. He's a farmer leader with the United Soybean Board. We'll learn about that next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
my hospital stay would have cost $25,000. But with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000. But with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000. But with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update Series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. November milk down 23 to 21.23. December down 17 to 21.32. January down 4 to 20.75. February down 6 at 20.20. Live and feeder cattle markets, higher hogs also mostly higher as well. A strong underlying support held for the cattle markets, with some of the cash markets being steady to slightly higher. That helped to spark renewed commercial buyer activity across the complex. Now, hog futures also moved mostly higher as well on the day, as, again, some of the pork cutouts were moving slightly higher, up a dollar, and that helping to support the market. October live cattle up a dollar to 187.62. October feeder cattle up a dollar 60 to 248.32. December hogs were up 15 cents to 77.82. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly lower, as spillover pressure from the drop in wheat markets pressuring corn, along with that continued harvest pressure. Soybeans also moving mostly lower as well, as again, the harvest pressure and also South American planting continuing to move forward, supporting the markets. And also, wheat markets lower. The plains had better rains. That's expected into the weekend. That should help with the U.S. wheat crop. At the Board of Trade, December corn down 2 to 404 and 3 quarters. November beans down 18 and 3 quarters.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex, their premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts. They'll have the product you need for your operation. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest Cenex store for more information. Well, joining us now, we are talking about exploring U.S. aquaculture innovations. A recent trade trip to Philip Goods Farm in Mississippi. was something that was part of WISH, the World Initiative for Soy in Human Health Educational Trade Team Program. We're going to learn more about that trip right now. Joining us, United Soybean Board Director Philip Good from Mississippi. Philip, good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
Well, let's start, and I want to set this up. Can you give folks just a little background on your farm operation in Mississippi? I know you have plenty of diversity on your farm, so give us a rundown and kind of the setup of what your farming operation looks like first.
Sure. Well, my family farm is located in East Central Mississippi. We are in the Black Prairie region of the state. And so it's a mixed operation of row crop and some livestock. We raise soybeans, corn, and cotton. And then on the livestock side, I have a small beef cattle herd and also an aquaculture operation of catfish. And so, kind of a mixture there. My son is also farming with us here. And it's a mixture of irrigated and dry land. And so we would have about 15 center pivots of sprinkler irrigated ground here.
Well, you mentioned one piece there that I want to talk about here in terms of this trade trip that was a group of Nigerian aquaculture feed manufacturers. They toured your farm to get an up-close look at your aquaculture layout and growing catfish there on the farm, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about this trip a little bit and what that group of folks from Nigeria was able to see.
Well, part of United Soybean Board's mission is and purpose is working and maximizing returns in dollars. And so part of that is done through partnerships. And so these partners, the WISH, which stands for World Initiative of Soy and Human Health, they were able to bring some interns of some young professionals from Nigeria that are looking to increase fish production in their country, and thus increasing human health. And so these young interns were able to visit our family farm here and were able to see everything from soybean production, our infrastructure as far as storage and handling. And then locally, 3 miles from my place here, they were able to see a fish feed manufacturing plant where they process and actually make our catfish feed. And then they were able to see my soybean production, our catfish production, with everything from aeration to see the feeding. And then also 3 miles in another direction from my place, it was a catfish processing plant where they were seeing the harvesting and packaging of the catfish. And so for them, they were able to kind of see every aspect, which can be like a 2-year process. And we're able to see that in just a couple hours here in the visit and see every stage and every step. So to see the sustainability of how the soybeans were grown and raised and then handled all the way through to the plate was just something that marveled them. Now, these young professionals were very intelligent and asked such great questions of us here. And so it was a good exchange of information.
Well, and you mentioned this too, the work that the United Soybean Board does in terms of creating new opportunities for U.S. soy, and then you think about a partnership with WISH and looking at our various trade partners around the world and more. I have to think that a trip like this one is just working to build those relationships, especially with a country in Africa that has a lot of, I'd say, a lot of market potential for U.S. ag products moving forward, right?
Right. So as a soybean farmer, you know, part of my passion is truly to feed the world. I mean, we're raising and that's our job and our purpose is to feed. And so when I think about soybeans specifically and I think about how they are sold and shipped, we're shipping whole soybeans, we're shipping soybean meal, and we're shipping meat around the world that is feeding. So it's either your food or it's your food's food. These, you know, Nigeria has a great opportunity when you think about 60% of their population is under the age of 25. They're young. There's a lot of growth there in their aquaculture. Fish farming is one of their fastest farming practices there. When you think about fish consumption, it's such a healthy protein source and a healthy food. that, you know, all three of those are just a perfect fit. And so Wish is there developing this market, educating, encouraging, doing this intern exchange program where they're able to see where this product is being grown and what they're doing here. And they take that information back to this developing country and can then become a better importer and consumer of our U.S. soy. And so it's a long range investment. We've seen some of those returns happen in other countries. We see it happening here. And so we're looking forward to the future with that exchange.
We're talking with United Soybean Board Director Philip Good from Mississippi. And I wonder, too, you mentioned that the group asked a lot of great questions. Were there any questions, or maybe did they come into this with some misconceptions maybe on how certain practices and things are done on a U.S. farm that maybe you were able to clear up with them? I mean, talk about some of the different things that they asked of you during the trip.
So when we were standing in my soybean field, there were questions of everything from herbicide usage, insect pressure. We talked about efficiencies. We talked about economies of scale. We talked about all kinds of different things. I think the biggest thing that I remember from that conversation with them was talking about some of our apps on our phones and talking about water efficiencies. We have soil moisture probes, and they were just so intrigued that we're delivering just the right amount at the right place at the right time and doing it so efficiently. And so I think that there was a lot of questions around all those different usages. And so they really did get the sustainable picture and understanding in their mind about how U.S. soy is sustainable in so many different areas. And so there was questions around that, discussions that led to excitement that I could see on their faces as they looked and actually stood in some larger grain bins on my farm. These people are feeding feed that comes in bags. And so when you think about how we in the U.S. have such a great infrastructure and bulk and great efficiencies there, they have a ways to go. And so the mere size of what we do in the U.S. was just really shocking to them, the economies of scale and the efficiencies there. So they could see the opportunity. I think one of the saddest points of exchange for me was when I heard that many of the people are making a daily trip to a store or to a place for their food. And we talked about that, the lack of cold storage, the lack of refrigeration, that their diet is a large part of smoked fish. And it's made sense, the smoking, how it started back in time was helped to preserve that protein a little bit longer. And so they really do enjoy, and a large part of their diet is smoked fish. And that is because of that lack of refrigeration and cold storage. So just discussing some of the exchanges of tradition, and it was educational for me as well.
Well, a great trip, and again, a good partnership there with the American Soybean Association's World Initiative for Soy and Human Health, WISH, and United Soybean Board. I know, of course, folks can find more details about all the different investments that the Soy Checkoff is making into new uses for soy and much more. UnitedSoybean.org. Philip, before we let you go, real quick, how has harvest, how's the crop been looking for you and your fellow growers in Mississippi, corn, soybeans, cotton, et cetera? How have things been here this fall?
Well, I'm celebrating. I just finished just 2 days ago. I finished with all harvest, which is sort of the relief. We're now focusing on some fall preparation, some fall field work where we're just, sowing our cover crops and excited to kind of put the final grain into the grain bin, so to speak, and the cotton is being in the process of being ginned. So all that is wrapping up. As any typical farmer, I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be better than this last one. At least we sure hope it is, because we have faced a lot of challenges here. It's been one of the hottest and one of the driest in this location that we have seen on record. And so, unfortunately, we're not experiencing what a lot of parts of the country are experiencing, which is great yields. We are not. So we are hurt here in the Mid-South from hot and dry conditions, but still thankful and blessed, but looking forward to next year.
Well, glad to hear you got the harvest wrapped up, and I will agree. Looking forward to next year, no doubt. Again, folks can find more at unitedsoybean.org. With that, United Soybean Board Director Philip Good from Mississippi. Philip, thanks for joining us here on Agriculture of America today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Philip Good, farmer leader from Mississippi with the United Soybean Board, joining us here on AOA. Today's program powered by Cenex, power through the season. Cenex is what you need. Their greases have an enhanced additive package that provides better protection, allowing your equipment to stay in the field and on the go. Protect your operation with Cenex. Go to your nearest store or Cenex.com for more information. Coming up next here on the program, as we take a look at Ag News headlines, more layoffs at John Deere at facilities in the Quad Cities. We'll have updates on that story. Also, we'll get a special report from American Ag Network's Corinne LaRue looking at a jet fuel processing facility coming to eastern South Dakota that's getting help from the federal government in the way of a loan from the U.S. Department of Energy. We'll take a look at those stories and more coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Back after this.
Everyone has a community to lead.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
We've got what you want. We've got what you need. Your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Durant Smokehouse has custom-cut beef, pork, chicken, and more. Master Butcher Roy has custom recipes for burgers, brats, chicken, and more to make any meal a success. Try Durant Smokehouse's famous beef sticks and natural hot dogs, too. Visit Durant Smokehouse, Highway 85, Durant.
We've got what you want. We've got what you need. Your satisfaction is guaranteed.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living. For my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Big Ag has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Congress done? Nothing. Derek Van Orden has gone Washington. He yells at workers, talks down to people, and acts like he's better than us. He's in Congress to serve himself, not Wisconsin. I'm running for Congress to serve you. I'll stand up to Democrats to fight for a secure border, support police, and stop the wasteful spending. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
That's from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. And veterans should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then. My benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as AOA continues here today, powered by Cenex. Mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel and keep your operation moving, because as a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. So protect your equipment with Cenex premium diesel to keep you in the field. Visit your local Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. Let's take a look at Ag News headlines. John Deere laying off more workers at facilities in Iowa and Illinois. The company announcing this past week that they've laid off employees at Quad Cities facilities, including 287 workers at Harvester Works in East Moline, Illinois, 80 at Davenport Works in Davenport, Iowa, and 7 more in the Moline Seeding Plant in Moline, Illinois. Now, more than 900 workers have been laid off this year in the Quad Cities alone. The company has laid off more than 2,500 workers across multiple states this year, including Iowa and Illinois, citing the downturn in the ag economy. Now, Deere stated the recent round of layoffs here the past several days are not related to overseas moves, but to decreased orders in tractors and farm equipment. In a statement to KWQC-TV on Wednesday, the company said in part that it is important to note these layoffs are due to reduced demand for the products produced at these facilities. They are not related to production moves. As we have repeatedly stated, layoffs this fiscal year are due to the weakening farm economy and a reduction in customer orders for our equipment, end quote. Now, a few weeks ago, former President Trump threatened the company with a 200% tariff on goods coming into the U.S. amid talk of shifting some production to plants in Mexico. Now, John Deere, again, attributing the reduction in workforce to a 20% drop in sales. The company's stock price is down around 16% from last year, and affected employees will receive benefits including supplemental unemployment and health care coverage. Again, John Deere laying off more workers, this time at facilities in the Quad Cities. Well, as we continue to watch the growth of sustainable aviation fuel and airlines racing towards net zero emissions by 2050, we continue to see the expansion of jet fuel processing facilities and more across the country. And a major jet fuel processing facility coming to eastern South Dakota, getting a little bit of help with a loan from the federal government. American Ag Network's Corinne LaRue has more in this report.
The U.S. Department of Energy announced a conditional loan guarantee of nearly $1.5 billion for the Gevo Net Zero One plant at Lake Preston. This financing will support the construction of a pioneering cornstarch to jet fuel facility. The facilities, the first of its kind in the U.S., will source low-cost, low-carbon corn from local farmers to produce sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, renewable diesel, and renewable naphtha. Additionally, it will incorporate carbon capture and renewable energy to minimize emissions, generating around 1.3 billion pounds of protein products for animal feed and 30 million pounds of corn oil annually. The SAF market is expected to grow rapidly, with many airlines committing to net zero emissions by 2050. Gevo's renewable fuel can be integrated into existing engines with minimal modifications, facilitating a swift adoption. The project is expected to generate around 1,300 indirect jobs and 100 operational positions, boosting economic growth in South Dakota and nearby areas. Once operational, the facility plans to produce up to 60 million gallons of SAF annually, supporting the administration's goal of increasing production to 3 billion gallons by 2030 and 35 billion gallons by 2050. I'm Corinne LaRue.
And thanks again to Corinne for that report on the Gevo processing facility in Lake Preston, South Dakota. Well, let's take a look at other news headlines. In an October 14th letter to dealers, Kubota unit Land Pride said it would be stopping production at its facilities in Kansas due to continued inventory growth in Kansas and low order backlog. Production will be paused from Wednesday, November 27th until Monday, January 6th of 2025. Now, according to the letter, the company has inventory on hand and will continue to ship orders through the work stoppage. The letter further states this pause in production may affect some parts that are manufactured in our facilities. We have identified high volume manufactured parts and are working to produce them ahead of the shutdown. However, even with careful planning, there could be delays in the shipment of Land Pride manufactured parts. The letter further says that to minimize interference with end of year retail, our sales and marketing teams are here to help. You have our commitment that we will work diligently to move inventory around to help you save every retail. As mentioned above, we will still be shipping from Kansas. We also have the ability to offer an in-territory transfer or even transfer a unit from a nearby territory. So again, Kubota unit Land Pride stopping production at its facilities in Kansas from November 27th until January 6th of next year due to continued inventory growth in Kansas and low order backlog. Also, as we take a look at news headlines, CHS tops the list of the nation's top cooperatives on the annual Co-op 100 from the National Cooperative Bank. The list features the top 100 revenue-grossing cooperatives in America. According to the NCB list, in 2023, these member-owned, member-controlled businesses generated revenues of $325 billion, a slight increase from 2022. Now, again, CHS topped the list, followed by Dairy Farmers of America, Land O'Lakes Incorporated, Growmark Incorporated, and Wakefern Food Corp / ShopRite. Other notable agriculture companies within the top 25 included CoBank at number 7, AgriBank FCB at number 8, Ag Processing Incorporated at number 12, and AgTegra Cooperative Incorporated came in at number 19 on the list. You can view the full annual Co-op 100 report. Just go to ncb.coop for more. And the USDA says turkey eggs in incubators in the U.S. as of October 1st were down 9% from October 1st of last year. Eggs in incubators were down 2% from the September 1st, 2024 total of 25 million eggs. Turkey poults hatched during September 2024 in the U.S. totaled 20.4 million, down 5% from September 2023. Also, as far as feed options in the future, a 24-25 USDA feed outlook is for reduced supplies despite an increase in output. Sorghum supplies were raised but offset by lower corn carry-in. That's a look at Ag News headlines here today on AOA. We're out of time. The show powered by Cenex Bargain Tractor Hydraulic Fluids. They're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. On the next program, we'll talk markets with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, will stop by, and we'll talk with Dan Erdman from Farm Rescue on the next AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days.
When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt.